Amen. Thank you, Peter. Nice work moving through that list. Good morning, church. Wow. Welcome here. I'm so glad you're here. Today is our first day as we enter into Advent of 2019. Anybody excited? All right. That's good. That was 10 as opposed to our normal 3. So this is a big day. I'm going to jump right into our scripture and then we're going to move forward from there. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Haggai, the second chapter. If you start at Matthew and go 3 books back, that's where you'll find it. And it will be up here on the screen as well. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We want to get you one. It's important. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest and the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And so, Father, we just pause in this moment, recognizing that everything belongs to you. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts to hear what you have for us. Because there is so much more. Amen. I have to confess, church, I have to confess something to you. I believe it was somewhere in the month of August that my heart began to yearn for Christmas. Anybody there with me? It was August, and it was hot, and I remember there was foliage on the trees. There was no frost in the morning. In fact, it didn't even seem like there was dew. It was that part was beautiful, and I went, oh, I can't wait for Christmas. I love Christmas. What do I love about Christmas? I love so many things. I love the songs that we sing. I love the atmosphere, not only in our church, but around in the broader culture. I love this idea of giving gifts. When we give gifts, we mirror, to an extent, the Father who loves to give good gifts to His kids. And so in August, I started to think about playing Christmas songs. I didn't do it. We didn't do it. But we did start in October this year. Anybody start in September? Now here's the thing, church. As I was preparing, it was back in summer, and this may have been part of it. I was asking God, what do you want to speak to us? What do you want to impart in us this Christmas season? And 3 words came to mind, and they were these 3 words. You've got them on your program. So much more. So much more. And see, I believe, church, that God wants to give us so much more in every area of our lives. Some of us may arrive into the Christmas season partially excited, but partially dreading it for any number of reasons. It may be a time of traumatic family experiences. It may be a time where all of a sudden you sense the significant loss of somebody who isn't there. It may be that you think of Christmas Day coming up, and at the end of the day when there's no more gifts to wrap, that feeling of emptiness inside. Here's the thing, church, as we step and press into this season, I want us to know, to be aware of God's heart for us to have so much more. God cares about everything from the wide angle macro level. He cares about the trauma and the harsh experiences that are happening in cultures far away from us. He cares about everything that we are engaging and entering in every single day. Do you believe that? And here's the thing. In every one of those places, God wants us to experience Him so much more. He wants us to experience His fullness so much more. And I believe one of the struggles that we have is too often we take on the posture of people before Jesus with this long away look to one day I'll have it all, for right now I have to just grin and bear it. And I believe that God is saying, listen, when you start to get everything oriented around me, the Lord Almighty is the word that Haggai continues to use throughout that passage. The Lord Almighty, when everything is oriented around me, you'll have so much more in every circumstance. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. See, this was a prophecy about what was going to come. As the desire of all nations, that is Jesus Christ, and the hope that He would bring, and the fullness that He would gain, that He would bring to us. This was Haggai hearing from God, the Lord Almighty, hey, you need to tell my people. You need to tell them that there is a fullness that is coming as I send my Son. And the people were in a place of being dismayed. This is right around when they were rebuilding Jerusalem. If you want more, read Ezra and Nehemiah. And see, there's these three minor prophets at the end that were in a similar time space. And he's saying, hey, look around you right now. It doesn't look like much, but don't worry. Now, there was a momentary, there was an actual physical restoration of Jerusalem. But what this is truly about is this reality that when we set our hearts, our minds on Jesus, our spirits are transformed, and then every part of our being around us is transformed. Church, there is so much more for us. Now, if we're honest and we look at our lives, there are areas in our lives. There are relationships. There are circumstances. there are aspects or elements where we're not sensing God's fullness. And the heart of God through Jesus, and then through the sending of His Spirit, is so that we can sense His fullness, so that we can be and represent the kingdom of God, so that we can rise up and be the transformers in the world around us. There's this one little phrase that I want us to hear in verse 4, and then we're going to move ahead here. In 2 verse 4, God is saying through the prophet, be strong, be strong, be strong. The priests, be strong, you the people. And then there's a call to work. Be strong, knowing who I am, knowing what I've done for you. Now come and work. And here's this tension, and we've been talking about this for a little while now, and confusing. And sometimes in the past we've confused this idea that we have to work to earn God's approval. We have to work to earn His entry into His kingdom. We have to do, and that's not it at all. The first thing in all of this is God's heart, His great love for us. But after that, after we are aware of His great love, after we've been restored, comes us entering in and working. And here's the catch. The way to so much more is not to work hard for yourself. The way to so much more is to work hard for what God has for His people. So much more. I was thinking about this and the story of the kingdom of heaven that's found in Matthew 13:44 came to my mind. And Jesus is giving examples of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And He says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. See, in order for us to come to the receiving of the so much more, our understanding of what God has done, of what God has to us, has to take a prominent place in our thinking. See, we have to come to the awareness that the things around us, whether they're good, whether they're partially good, whether they're bad, are honestly insignificant in comparison with who God is and what He's done for us. We have to arrive at this place where our response to God's love becomes the single driving force in our lives. Where we recognize and find it, just like the man who found the treasure that was buried and hidden. And we go, that is worth all of my time. That is worth all of my energy. That is worth all of my heart. In fact, it's worth so much that I'm going to release all these other things to go after it. It's worth everything because as we grab onto it, we have so much more that moves and filters through every element, every aspect of our lives. I want you to turn to Luke 2. And this is around the birth of Jesus, but we're actually jumping ahead a little bit. So we've been 500 plus years behind, and now we're going to go just a few days after the birth of Jesus. And so there's this Jewish custom that on the eighth day there would be cleansing rituals and rites that the mom of the baby would go through at the temple, and also the baby would become circumcised on that eighth day. And so Joseph and Mary make their way to the temple, and they go there in order to present Jesus, our King. They go there to present Jesus, our King, to the Lord. In verse 24, and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord's. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. And so we've got Joseph and Mary doing this thing in obedience. They're taking these steps because this is what they do. All of the amazing miracles and encounters and people who came have come before this, and they're doing this normal step in the Hebrew life. And it says in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. You see, those two words give us a great indicator of who Simeon was. They give us a great indicator of what Simeon was about. See, Simeon was one of those guys who actually did what God is calling all of his people to do. Simeon was one of those guys who set his agenda aside in order to step into the agenda that God had for him. And he's a model to us. What's interesting is I've typically read through this, and in my mind I see Simeon as this older man. I did a bit of research this week. And because he's linked with Anna the prophetess, who comes after, some would say, yeah, he was an old guy, but that's actually not what Scripture says. He could have been any age, likely from 30 up. What is important about him isn't his age. What's important is his heart orientation. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so we get an understanding that he's always somewhere nearby the temple. He's always waiting. He's always anticipating. And here's what we don't have any idea about. We don't have any idea how long he was waiting. And here's the thing, church. This can be one of the greatest stumbling blocks for us, grabbing on to the so much more. Is because we hear this promise that God is a good God, He gives good gifts. We hear this reality that His Spirit is with us, that we are His temple, that we are part of His body. We hear a message on God wanting to give us rewards. And not just heavenly rewards, but rewards here. And we go, I'm not receiving it. I'm not getting it. That's it. I quit. I heard somebody this past week share with me that they haven't been praying for a while, but then they started and they asked for something and they didn't get it, and so that's it. They're taking a break again. And in one sense, it's funny, and in another sense, it's so tragic. Because there is such a true promise of the so much more, such a true promise of the fullness of the freedom. But we don't know the timing, right? And so the so much more is this anticipation. And that's part of what hope is, isn't it? It's this anticipation of what is to come. It's recognizing that there's a promise and we hold on to it. And Simeon is this beautiful example of waiting and holding on to the so much more. So he's moved by the Spirit. He goes into the temple courts. And when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And he goes on to prophesy and speak a few things specific to Mary and the life of Jesus. But Simeon held on to this promise that he was given. He held on to it. He held on to it. He continued to do his duties, and he received with so much more. What is this so much more that you have been promised in your life? What is this so much more that you have given up on? And what is this so much more that God wants to renew in you today? Again, for some of us, it might be related to relationships. For some of us, it might be related to specifically something that we've requested, that we've made from God. For some of us, we might be saying, I have no idea. And if that's your response, is I have no idea, hey, that's okay, but I promise you God has something for you. I promise you that God has something for you to press in towards. And when we move to ministry time, if you're in that space of, I don't know what this so much more is, that's where we want you to come so that we can pray for you. Here's the thing, God's heart is for us to not only receive so much more, but honestly for us to be the so much more in the culture around us. God's heart is for us to be so transformed as we fix our eyes upon Jesus that everywhere we go, we radiate the hope and the light and the true promises of God. Now, as I speak that, I'm hearing in my own life areas that I need to lay down, where I need to confess, where I need to release, where I need to press in more. But I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged because as God draws me, as God refines me, as God transforms and renews my mind every single day, I step one more fully into the so much more. And that's the call for us, church. That's the call for us. Paul made this prayer to the Ephesian church. And he says this, kneeling before the Father. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's where our identity is. When we come to Jesus, he becomes our identity. It's almost like our surname becomes one more behind our last name, which is child of God. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. I want you to think of that for a second, that idea of rooted. This past week we were preparing the church for this this event that's going to happen this afternoon, and I took on the role of cleaning up some of those black. Anybody been to CMC lately and had to step over blackberries on the deck? They're not there anymore. I took that on with one of my boys, and in that process we were having to uproot some of these blackberries. Now, some of them I could pull out pretty easily. Some of them were a little bit harder. I had to put my back into it to get them out. And some of them were so deep that I just broke the blackberry right off because it was so deeply rooted. Now, what's going to happen? Blackberries can grow back from that one, isn't it? Now, I'm taking this pernicious weed, a blackberry, and trying to switch it into a good illustration, because Paul is praying that we will be rooted like that. That no matter what comes against us, that no matter what pulls at us, that no matter what breaks a piece off of us, it won't take away from the so much more. And we know that as we're pruned, as we're placed into this refiner's fire, only good comes as we keep our eyes on Jesus. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge. I've heard it all before. I know what you're going to say, Joel. I know that God loves me. No, no. Here's the thing. You don't understand. The love of God goes beyond knowledge. That's one of the ways that as we continue to press into Scripture, and we may have read something time after time after time, all of a sudden, the love of God opens our eyes to something newer and deeper and fuller. Church, there is so much more. There's so much more. This love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I want you to listen to this, because this is so much more. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. See what Paul is saying there is, man, you need to make your requests to God, but He wants to give you more. He wants to give you more than what you're asking for. He wants to give you more than you can even imagine. I don't know about you, but my imagination can go to some pretty amazing places. And God's got so much more for us. And see, the entry point into all of this, church, is understanding God's love and then orienting our lives, our actions around that. So much more. So much more than you can ask or imagine. Can I invite those who are taking communion, serving communion to make your way forward? So here's what we're going to do, church. We're going to do communion in the form of come forward and take the bread, receive it as you stand there, or you can take it back and eat it on your own, and then hold the cup, and we're going to do that. Now there's going to be a bit of a gap, a bit of a lag time, and can I get Jocelyn, do you mind just playing some pads or some keys? Just in this space? Thank you. There's going to be some space, church. Some space between the taking the bread and where we take the cup together. In this place, all we should do is just simply this. God, what do you have for me? What is the so much more that you have for me? What is the promise that I've given up on? And then I just want you to listen. Now, if what you hear is something that you know that's been tested through Scripture, that's been discerned through community, beautiful. Hold it. Keep holding on to it. Trust God in His timing. Don't lose hope. The first Sunday of Advent is about hope. Don't lose hope. If it's something new, then you test it, you discern it with Scripture, and then you bring it into community. And if you're at a blank, then when we have our ministry teams up here afterwards, just come up and share your heart. I want to hear what God has for me. Would you pray with me, prayer team? Because I promise you, church. Promise you. God has so much more for us. Can I invite you to stand? And so, Father, we gather on this first Sunday of Advent. We gather looking ahead into this Christmas season. And Father, we pray just an outpouring of hope. We pray an outpouring of your Spirit on us and through us into the community around us. Lord, would you bring freedom in a new way? Would you instill hope in a new way? Would you help us understand you as a good dad who gives good gifts? We pray for that inspiration, Lord. And so in the season where we remember your entry, at least in bodily form, into this world, Lord, we look ahead We remember that night where you were with your closest friends. With people who had seen you do miracles, Lord. With people who had done miracles in your name. And in that place of close friends, you took a piece of bread and you broke it and you said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Take it and eat it and remember me." And so, Lord, as we make our way forward, we remember you, we celebrate you, we worship you. Open our eyes to so much more you have. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen, church. So what you're going to do is just on your timing, as God leads you, just go ahead and come forward. And grab the bread and take it, and then bring the cup back, and we'll do that together. Just stand, church. I feel this excitement, and I feel this weight of glory, is that a term C.S. Lewis used? This beautiful moment when we become aware of God's presence. So in a moment we're gonna partake in the cup together. As we do that, I just want to remind you of a few things that are really important. Just like it says in Haggai, all the silver, all the gold are His. They're all His. He entrusted to us. We're stewards of it, but it belongs to God. And so we're gonna do our offering just a little bit differently today. I'm gonna ask if those who normally collect our offering would just stand at the back on the sides there. And it may be that that money and finances are a challenge, they're a focus, they're an overlying, overarching thing that consume way too much heart and head space. This is not a manipulative thing, this is not a guilt thing at all, but it could be an opportunity for you to demonstrate your trust in God so much more as you walk out of here today. Again, if you are visiting, there's zero pressure. We want you to give at your home church. If you don't have a home church and you live on the coast, we want to be your home church. So on that same night, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant." Church, the new covenant, what Jesus did, it is our way into the so much more. Are you with me? Do you hear me? So much more. And so, Lord, we thank you. We celebrate you. I invite you to take and drink, church. And so, Jesus, we invite you to move in us. Like you said in Haggai that the earth would be shaken, we invite you to shake our lives in a way that move us towards a full dependence on you. We invite you to refine us, Lord. Show us the way into the so much more that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Amen. So have an amazing week. Go from here with the radiance of God on you. We want to invite you to make your way to CMC, where we've got that amazing outreach slash fundraiser. And don't forget our benevolent giving in the baskets at the back on your way out. Bless you. Have a great day.